You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris and Rory Delaghi here to preview four contests on Monday afternoon and into the evening as well. We've got racing at Wolverhampton and Windsor that we'll be looking at on today's edition of the podcast. Make sure you join us on Racing Radio on Monday though for all of the meetings. We've also got action at Chepstow and Suttle, and there's an Irish card over at Kilbeggan on Monday evening as well. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome along to Rory Delaghi. Hello, Rory.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I'm not bad at all.
Good. A fabulous 5 days that we've just had at Royal Ascot. Rory, profitable week for yourself? Enjoyable week for yourself?
Well, it's pretty enjoyable on the whole.
Yeah?
He said, avoiding the first question. but I got a winning nap at the end of the week and the tin man yesterday, so that was that was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
A couple of near misses, but it's enjoyable all told. It was a very good meeting. Some genuinely... memorable races in there as well, so I'd say it was a palpable hit, as they say.
Indeed, as well it should be, really. I suppose the premium festival of the flat season, it should be producing quality of the light that it did. Any personal highlights for yourself this week?
The Jersey winner I thought was very impressive.
Libravido.
I'm not a fan of the Jersey. I don't think it's a great race. Ironically, it's gone to two very good horses in the last 2 years. In the shape of Ribchester and Libravido. But I thought he did really well to win, given that the race panned out away from where he was racing. So he was doing his racing against one group of horses, and then late in the day it became clear that the near side group had pinched a lead, and he managed to make up the gap very impressively, essentially running two races, and horses who can quicken twice like that are well worth following. So it'd be nice to see him in the Sussex Stakes, but he probably goes
back to France.
Jacques Lamarois, from there. He, you know, and on another day he'd have won the French Guineas. That could have gone either way. He and Le Brambateau, who went on to win the French Derby, had a battle royal in the last furlong. They pulled well clear of the rest of the field, and they're both clearly top class. So wherever he goes, I'll be happy to support him, because I think he might just be better than what we've seen here.
Okay, Libravido one to take out of the week. Then was there any other horses that you're keen to keep on side going forward now from the royal meeting?
I'm going to go through the races again and make a list of horses who didn't get the run of things, who might be worth following, or horses who won despite how they panned out. The fourth horse home in the Britannia, whose name now escapes me, but I'll find it. It was Marco Botti's horse, I think. He was a massive eye-catcher, I thought. He looked the best horse in the race to me, and I hadn't really considered him prior to that, so he's one I'd want to be with in decent races. The only problem with finding horses that catch the eye,
Indian Dandy.
The only problem with horses who catch the eye in races like the Britannia is they have a habit of being sold to race in Hong Kong, very quickly after that. It's exactly if I was looking to buy a horse to race for massive money in the States or in Hong Kong, particularly the Britannia is a great race to start looking for.
All right.
And a lot of horses from that have been sold on in recent years, but. He travelled really well, held up by Tom Queeley. He was on the wrong side of the track anyway. He then met trouble in running at the wrong time, which stopped his momentum. But even then, he's got going again to win the race on his side of the track. And if he'd got a clear run through and been asked for his effort a bit sooner, he'd have won that even more clearly. And to me, came out as the best horse in the race at the weights. So I would be very keen to follow him. I see he's in the John Smith's Cup at York. Next month. Oh, my birthday, in actual fact. That's got to be that's got to be a sign. So if he does start up for that, he'd be very interesting. He's not tried a mile and a quarter yet, but Yes, it's debatable from his pedigree whether he wants a mile and a quarter. But he did see the stiff mile out really well after being stopped in his run, which suggests that he will stay a little bit further. So I'd be interested if he managed to get into that. And he was rated 92 at Royal Ascot. And he'll go up a 2 or 3 pounds for finishing fourth, I'd have thought, as well. So if he sneaks into the John Smith's Cup, I will certainly be giving him a second look.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out whether that's a qualifier for Pimmer's birthday system.
If you, what if it's a pundit's birthday?
Yeah, if you nap the horse on your birthday, does that therefore mean
I suspect
it's a qualifier?
But I don't know who else shares my birthday, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Probably not Marco Botti, but if he does...
Well, if he does, it's an absolute certainty then. Anything else on your mind from the Royal meeting before we move on to take a look at some of Monday's action?
Yeah, you could get me started, but nothing. The Commonwealth Cup's a good race, isn't it?
Yeah, that was... I mean, on paper, it looked as though it was going to be one of the races of the week. Great to see the three protagonists all run their race. And at one stage of the race, you could give a chance to all three of them.
Each of them looked like they were going to win at certain stages. So it was an absolutely fantastic race. Lived up to its billing, as it has done since it was instituted at the Royal meeting.
But a superb addition to the...
It has been absolutely fantastic. I saw a debate this morning from our UK about whether it took away from
the jersey. Yeah.
It's a better race than the jersey. So it's like asking whether the Gold Cup takes away from the three-mile handicap chase on the opening day of the festival. Yeah. You know, ironically, the jersey has thrown up two of its best races since the Commonwealth Cup actually started. It's a slightly different pool of horses anyway. The Commonwealth Cup is for better horses, for July Cup horses. Mm. The jersey occasionally goes to a horse in that mould. The way the jersey works is if you've been unlucky in one of the guineas and you haven't managed to win and you haven't got a group race win before that, you get into the jersey leniently weighted, you know, with no penalty. And it suits horses like that. And Ribchester and Libriviedo in the last 2 years have been hugely progressive milers who've managed to get in there without having to give weight away. And if you get a horse in that mould, then the jersey's quite a good stepping stone. But it can't possibly be negatively impacted by the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's been a very good addition and won by what looks a very, very good horse this year. On to Monday's racing then. We start at Wolverhampton, a couple of races to come from Dunstall Park, and then we move on to Windsor for one of the evening meetings, beginning with the 2:45 race at Wolverhampton. Then a handicap over 5 furlongs here. 8 runners down to contest it, the dead 8 runners as well. And your thoughts on this 2:45 at Wolverhampton, Rory?
Yeah, there's a standout in this race. And if he goes off at the price that the tissue that I have in front of me suggests, then he's definitely worth backing. For all, he's a horse to have slight concerns about. That horse is Wild Approach. He looks just a bit better than most of these, quite frankly. He's not entirely straightforward. He's had 3 runs in handicaps. He's won 2 of them. And you couldn't possibly say that he was undone by a rise in the weights when beaten over this course and distance last time, because he was beaten by the horse that he'd beaten on his previous start, and he just didn't quite give his running. He pulled far too hard over this course and distance. That's clearly a concern. But he beat Major Jumbo of Kevin Ryan's at Newcastle in February in a very good time, and the form of that race has worked out well. And indeed, the Wolverhampton race that he was beaten in next time has also worked out and makes him look like he belongs in a slightly better grade than this. You would have slight concerns about him because he hung to his left when he won at Newcastle. He chased the leader at a strong pace, but then he's hung left onto the far rail, but managed to get up on the final stride to win. And then he's pulled too hard next time. So if he was in a tough race, you'd be a little bit worried about him. I like Robert Carlo when he puts headgear on horses. He does very well first-time headgear, particularly if it's a blinkers or a visor. It's cheek pieces for Wild Approach here. He's part owned by Tom Morley, who was in the studio on Friday. And it'll be quite interesting to hear Tom's view on it. But I think he's the kind of horse who will benefit from being given a little bit of time out. He had 3 races in pretty quick succession. He qualified for handicaps last autumn, looking in need of experience but showing speed each time. And then he won his first 2 starts in handicaps before that that race where he got too lit up. And that's probably because he was having his 3rd race in quick succession and he was just going a little bit over the top, if you like. He's been given 4 months off and wears the cheek pieces for the first time. And as I said, as long as he can channel his energy in the right direction. I just think he's a better horse than his opposition here, even though he's actually receiving weight from one or two of them. The one who could be better than him, and the one who's worth considering in class terms, is Super Julius. Most of his running's been in class two company, and he's running a class five here. He ran very respectably at Salisbury last time out. That was in a higher class event, class four. But you know, he had some tough tasks after winning his maiden last year. He's another one who wears cheek pieces for the first time, and although he's unproven on the surface, you'd have to give him chances. I quite like Blue Rocks as a project, but his win came in class six two starts ago. He's better than he showed last time out when he was rushed up early to take a prominent position over a trip that probably stretches him stamina-wise. He's best at five furlongs, and I could see him bouncing back here, but I'm concerned about backing a class six winner against horses who belong in class three, class four company. So I'll leave him alone here. You know, the betting clearly makes a massive difference to what you'd go for here. But I thought Wild Approach deserved to be a clear favourite. And I thought Super Julius liable to be the biggest danger. Red Alert will take them along. And he'll be popular as well. He was disqualified after winning at Salisbury last week or the week before. And he'll be viewed as a winner without a penalty by some. Yeah. But I think it was the right decision to throw him out in favour of the horse he beat, Secret Agent. And he's gone up £3 for that anyway. So
right. He's
a little vulnerable for all he should run well.
OK, Wild Approach gets the call for Rory then in that 2:45 race at Wolverhampton. We stay at Wolverhampton for the 4:45. This is Division 2 of the 7 furlong handicap on the card. And 12 runners are taking their chance this time. Talk us through it, Rory.
Pace should come from Zebellini here. A lot of disappointing horses in this contest, as you would expect for the second division of a Class 6 handicap. As I said, a few have a bit to prove. I looked at several of these who I thought might be on the way up. Life of Luxury was interesting at first glance because he improved on his handicap debut to finish a close fourth here last time. And looked the winner off the bend. But they went pretty slow in that, and I thought he rather got the run of the race, and then he faded remarkably tamely. That was over the extended mile here, and he's back a furlong and a half in trip, so that may suit him. But I wonder whether he was just slightly flattered by the run of the race last time out. So I passed him over. Zebellini, I was inclined to pass over as well initially because she's had plenty of racing, and she's an easy one for the handicapper to get to grips with, and she's on a basement mark of 45 here. She did run really well in a similar race last time out when finishing third behind a well-handicapped rival. And that gives her every chance if she repeats that. She's almost certainly the pace angle from stall four, and she's one to bear in mind. You're not going to get anything like the price you got about her last time out, but if she's somehow a double-figure price, she'd be interesting because she could make all. She set a fairly strong pace last time out and kept going as well in front. So she does that again. She's not badly drawn in stall four for that. You don't want to be any lower than that over the seven furlongs at Wolverhampton if you want to make the running because of the run to the bend. Ironically, I'm going to put one up who is drawn low, but that's because she doesn't want to be anywhere near the lead.
Right.
Patanjali of Eve Johnson Horton's. I thought hers had a decent chance in the opener. And Patanjali has... she'd been shaping better than the result as a rule this season. She's only got the one win to her name, but often didn't get things go her way last season. And she ran a cracker over a mile at Lingfield earlier in the month where she travelled well, held up. She seems to run her best races when she races from off the pace and passes horses late on. She's then passed most of the field. She's gone down by about a neck in the end in third place, despite not getting a particularly clear run. The concern with her is dropping back to seven furlongs. But I think what she really wants is a very strongly run race. And the more you drop back in trip, the more likely your race is to be run strongly. It wasn't run particularly strongly at Lingfield over the mile last time out. This will be. They're going to go very hard from the outset here with Zebellini in the field. And one or two others, you probably don't want her to get an easy time in front. Bridal March and Fivos, who's drawn very wide, will probably go forward as well. So Patanjali should get a decent run. Charlie Bishop wants to move off the rail, the one thing you don't want to be doing at Wolverhampton is trying to burrow up the inside, which is what she did at Lingfield last time out. And if she tries the same thing again, that might not help her cause. But it may be this is overly strongly run. That's the impression I get looking at it. And she should be suited by having potentially a collapsing pace to run at. She's got a bit of class compared to some of these. I think she's better than a 56 filly when everything drops right for her. And hopefully the cheek piece is on. It will be a benefit to her. I'm not absolutely certain that's going to be the case. She's worn a hood in the past, for example. But with Eve Johnson-Horton continuing to churn out the winners, she had another winner yesterday.
Yeah.
I think Patanjali can overcome that draw in stall one. It's an unusual thing to say that you've got to overcome stall one, but it's not always the best place to be at Wolverhampton, to say the very least. But her style of running means... she'll be in the place she wants to be early on, and it's just a case of Charlie Bishop picking his way through the middle of the pack late on.
Patanjali then at Wolverhampton in that 4:45. On to the evening meeting at Windsor then. A couple of races picked out from Windsor. We begin with the 6:50, which is a handicap race over a mile. Just the five runners down to contest this, but not a bad little quintet. And I thought this was a decent enough heat, Rory.
I thought it was for a really small field, I thought it was almost impossible. to unpick, because the interesting ones would arguably be best dominating. Rumpel, for example, is a course and distance winner. He won his maiden here in May by popping out in front, making all the running at a steady pace, and then kicking clear late on. That made him look like a decent performer. But the time of that race, the speed figure he put up was very moderate because of the way the race was run. And he probably ran better last time out, despite finishing seventh at Doncaster. That time he was a little bit free on softer ground and didn't last it out. It's quite a stiff mile at Donny. You're going uphill the last half furlong there. And he looked like finishing closer for a long way. Been dropped a pound for that, which is beneficial. And he still looks like he's got more improvement, obviously representing Huey Morrison, who's in decent form. But he's not the only one who wants to lead. Sir Plato will want to go forward as well. And Meshake, or Sir Michael Stouts, probably will. It's hard to work out who's going to go off favourite here. Meshake has got that kind of profile. She won on her handicap debut last time at Leicester. She represents Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. But we were discussing in the studio yesterday about how Sir Michael Stout, for all the yards, it still gets talked up.
Didn't
have a win at Royal Ascot, and he's, you know, a lot of his horses are not running quite as well as the market expects them to do. They're still running well enough to suggest they're in form, but they always seem to be overbet. So it's difficult to back a Sir Michael Stout horse without knowing what kind of SP you're getting, because sometimes they're on the skinny side. Rubens Dream is one we haven't mentioned there. He won his second start in maidens. That came in soft ground at Haydock, and it may well be the soft ground suited him, but we're not entirely sure about that. And he looked an impossible winner at halfway. I thought he got an absolutely superb ride from Sylvester de Souza to win that. I thought it was one of Sylvester's finest rides, certainly of the season. The favourite and second favourite in that race were both slightly dubious times, so he didn't want to get in the battle. And they rather stalled each other in the closing stages, and Sylvester has swooped very wide on the track on his own to get up close home. I think there's a massive chance that the horse is flattered by the result, because the jockey did his own thing while others were beating themselves. So my view at the moment is that he's badly handicapped off a mark of 80. So I'd rule him out. I think Meshake is probably too short. It'd be nice to Sir Plato won for the Millmans.
Yep.
He's won three of his last four, but he's gone up from a mark of 57, which he won off in March, to 76, and that might just be a little high for him, especially as he'd prefer to dominate. And Fastnet Spin doesn't look particularly straightforward. So I'm going to give Rumpel another chance. For all his... My initial reaction to his win here over course and distance in May was that he rather stole it from the front. I think he showed last time out that wasn't a fluke, and there's better to come from him. So he probably doesn't need to lead, but he wouldn't mind if he did get an uncontested lead. And there's a fair chance he's going to improve another chunk and prove himself better than Doncaster suggested.
Ron Paul gets the vote then in the 6:50 at Windsor. The final race on today's podcast then is the next race on the card at Windsor, the 7:20, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Class 3 event this, with 6 runners down to take their chance in it. And what did you fancy in this one?
I thought Fair Cop was going to take the beating.
Yeah.
I think that's a fairly obvious thing to say, and she's probably going to be a short price. Others have better speed figures than her, but she's made a very good impression in 3 starts. She's improved as she's gone on and made all the running to land a half-decent-looking maiden over 5 furlongs here last time. We know she stays 6. She ran very well over 6 on her debut, so she shouldn't have any problem stepping back up to that trip. She did hang a little bit in the closing stages, but she looks like she's a work in progress and should improve again. So I think she'll take the beating. One or two of these would have every chance of beating her on their best form, but Say Yes has disappointed recently off higher marks. Unplaced runs at Leicester and York in his last 2 runs raised question marks about him, and Mick Shannon tries him an advisor. Open Wide ran very well over this course and distance last time out. He might be the danger, because the horse that beat him last time, with the filly that beat him, Mab's Cross, was an impressive winner. Yes. Again at Haydock last night. So he looks the danger on paper, but I feel that Faircop might just get first run on Open Wide and take all the beating again.
Okay, Faircop then in the 7:20 race at Windsor. Thank you very much for that, Rory. Quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, of your 4 selections for those 4 races.
In the 2:45 at Wolverhampton, I'm keen on Wild Approach. In the 4:45, the same meeting, my selection would be Patanjali. At Windsor in the 6:50, I think Rumpel looks the best bet there. And Faircop looks a fair cop in the 7:20.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi ahead of Monday's action. You can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio on Monday. We've got racing at Chepstow and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, Windsor, Suttle and Kilbeggan in the evening. Thank you for that, Rory. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.